Hello again. 'Tis a season of separation. All around the nation, graduates have separated from their schools and have moved on to their next level of education or have begun their pursuit of a career. Of course, in this pandemic period, their experiences are bittersweet as their celebrations have been muted and socially distant. Certainly, this year's graduates have had their commencement tinged with a bit of sadness, bittersweet, as their rituals were reduced in splendor. Zoom partying can only provide so much fun. Similarly, during this pandemic period, so many of our experiences are accompanied by a sense of separation tinged with loss and sorrow. For some 70 days now, we have felt a daily sense of sadness and sorrow when we read the newspapers or watch television and learn of the mounting deaths, the serial list of COVID-19 virus victims. Or closer to home, we hear from families and friends who among us has been taken ill or who has died from the COVID-19 virus. And then there are other moments of sorrow and sadness as we sense other forms of loss. The loss of a job, the loss of relationships, the loss of recreation and vacation. On and on it goes, loss, sorrow, sadness, grief abounds. And so amidst these feelings of grief, of sorrow and sadness, we may find today's gospel especially helpful and hopeful. When we read and reflect the words of Jesus, quote, "But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Unquote. In this passage taken from St. John's version of the Last Supper, we hear how Jesus anticipated the grief of his apostles. They certainly grieved his death. Sadness and sorrow pervaded their lives. That is, until they experienced the joyful surprise of Jesus' resurrection. And as we heard from the reading and readings throughout the Easter season, something new was born in the apostles and the other disciples. A birth that was fully realized 50 days after the resurrection at the Feast of Pentecost. It was at that first Pentecost that the disciples fully realized that Jesus was true to his word, that the promised advocate was indeed sent, a spirit not of sadness or grief, but of joy and hope, not of separation, but of solidarity, a solidarity in and through the advocate, the Holy Spirit. Certainly, St. Paul conveyed the Holy Spirit throughout his mission journeys. As we heard in today's first reading, taken from Acts chapter 16, this latest episode, Paul and his companions are not only freed from prison, but form a bond of friendship with the prison guard and his family. Friends, listen to these words about the prison guard. "He took them in at the hour of the night and bathed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized at once. He brought them into his house and provided a meal. With his household rejoiced at having come to faith in God." Notice how Paul developed a sense of solidarity with this family of faith. As followers of Jesus in the 21st century, as a family of faith, we are called to experience a similar sense of solidarity in the Holy Spirit. Despite the separateness and sorrows of our times, the signs of the times are offering us a new sense of solidarity. Recently, the columnist David Brooks spoke of this increasing solidarity among Americans when he reported that America is less divided than it was before the pandemic. He notes that in one recent survey, Americans who feel they live in a divided society has fallen from 87% to 48%. And 82% now say we have more that unites us then divides us. These signs of solidarity have been demonstrated by our faith community here at Holy Trinity. For the past 70 days, I have witnessed a strengthening of solidarity in the Spirit. The latest was this past Saturday when more than 100 parishioners participated in the national Do Something Good for Your Neighbor Day. Prayerfully and charitably, they participated. Some prayed together at home and on Zoom. Some ran. Others wrote letters. Still others provided food and toiletries for organizations such as Some So Others Might Eat. Altogether, more than 1,000 bags of food and toiletries were collected and distributed by our parishioners to the poor. Such actions are signs not of separateness, but of solidarity. And they are signs that despite the separateness of our being required to be sheltered in place, we as a parish remain one in the Spirit. Friends, we are approaching the end of the Easter season. In some 10 days, we will be celebrating the Feast of Pentecost again, a feast that celebrates that initial sending of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, first promised by Jesus at the Last Supper. We are also approaching the ending of our parish's closing and the time when we can physically come together around the Supper of the Lord is fast approaching. I long for that day, don't you? Allow me to inform you that this past Friday, all pastors in the Archdiocese of Washington were given reopening instructions, one of which was to abide by Mayor Bowser's extending the closing restriction until most likely June 8th. But in preparation for our eventual reopening, I have called forth a task force of members of our parish staff, parishioners, and others to propose and plan reopening strategies. Such strategies will be ways of bringing us back together, physically and publicly, gradually and safely. Some ways of gathering will take weeks, while other forms will take months. But as we anticipate the Feast of Pentecost, let us also anticipate that our season of separateness will one day end, and a new season of solidarity will commence, a commencement that it will extend beyond Holy Trinity Parish, indeed to our nation, to our church, and indeed throughout our entire planet.